Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Ellie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, I'm so great to be here. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a long time lover of rom-coms and romance and reality television. I consider myself a historian because I've been there since the beginning. I've seen it all. I've seen every iteration of The Bachelor and everything that Bravo has to offer. And then between, you know, watching stories, reading so much romance, reading so many other stories. A few years ago, I decided I really wanted to try my hand at writing my own. I was excited for a creative outlet like that.
I love this. Okay, so we got to talk reality TV because you might as well. So were you like an MTV VH1 viewer and then transition over to The Bachelor and to Bravo? Or were you like, were you just like Bravo from the beginning? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I watched Alex Michelle back in the Bachelor days, the very first one. Yep. And I definitely in college, I watched everything VH1 had to offer.
Yes.
Like a Rock of Love. But yes. where are we having this love?
Yes. Oh, and like you got to think about the price of the odds was Flavor Flav or Bret Michaels.
I love New York. Yeah, no, I think I wrote a college paper like comparing Tool Academy to some like great work of literary fiction. And my professor had never seen it before. So she was like, whoa, what is this thing? What is this world that you're describing here? And I'm like, you got it. Not VH1.
Gotta VH1. They don't make them like that. I don't think I watched VH1 in almost two decades. Like that's how like they don't make them like they used to. Like it's a decline. And I know MTV is like, I don't know what they do, Ridiculousness now. That's all they do. Like they used to have The Real World, Road Rules, The Hills, The Good Beach. And you know, I know like The Hills was kind of like opening up for other reality TV shows and all these different things, but it's still like that era of early reality TV is just something.
Oh, for sure. And it, like the way The Hills kind of goes into The Real Housewives and then we get everything on Bravo. I mean, I remember when Bravo was like operas and then I would
Dr. Studio. I actually I work at Pace. So I did go to a taping inside the Actors Studio because we used to compete with the space. So that's James Lipton like was the whole thing.
Oh my gosh. I was so obsessed with Inside the Actors Studio. And then you would see all these famous people in the audience where it's like there's like old episodes like Bradley Cooper's asking a question. And so I remember watching all those and then it kind of like, oh, what's this Real Housewives of Orange County? Like, who are these people? And now I just am so obsessed with the way that people have made careers off of being on reality television.
Yes.
Like the intersection of what your reality is versus experiencing this like reality drama that we're all watching.
Yeah.
Just I've been loving that and everything that's been going on with like Vanderpump Rules and Summer House this summer. Just kind of this discussion of like what is our real life when we live on camera? It's been a real fun look at human psychology. I love to talk about it like this is the great work of our time. This is our Citizen Kane.
It is a Citizen Kane. Scandal is like was life-changing in some ways for many people, not just the people who are included, but for many people who are adjacent. Because not only we have to take the reality TV stars, we also have to take the commentary, the creators that make a living, the gossip. I love Bravo gossip. It's one of my favorite things. I am a paid subscriber of Bravo Cocktails. I know what the tea is happening and all these different things. I've been an early adopter. And so I love that it's created this ecosystem of like just world that we can actually partake and enjoy and have, you know, you have a little bit of everything. You have your dark drama right now with New Jersey, and then you have like your petty drama about VIP in Dubai. Then you have like what's going to happen to OC. Like we're bringing back, holy crap. Yeah.
And with that whole gossip like ecosystem with Salt Lake City, where we like accidentally brought a gossip blogger on the show, and like they infiltrated the show, and just like how that felt like the ultimate betrayal for these women. Oh, like another character had gone to jail, and they're like, no, this is the betrayal. It's so wild. Like, look at the way that these sorts of stories unfold. And I've just been loving it. And when Scandoval broke, that was a big day for us reality addicts, because people who just live their lives, like, you know, good, great people who are, you know, who like to read the news. They're contacting me, and they're like, what is this Scandoval? And I'm like, oh, my time has come. Let me tell you about this alleyway behind this bar in West Hollywood.
First of all, like the explainer of like what Vanderpump Rules 10 years old explainer of all this cheating scandal, all everything's related and all these different things. And like, I remember March 3rd when this story broke, because I heard the story at 11 o'clock in the morning. And
I love that you know the date and where you were.
The date and know where I was. And at 11 o'clock in the morning, I heard the story from Bubba Cocktails. Like, there's a bombshell. Ariana found out, like, we would figure out our, like, Raquel and Sandoval and all those different things. And then, like, a couple hours later, it break the news. And then it just, like, it goes from there. Then we see Chris and Jody going to Ariana's. And we see all these different things. Like, all this, like, the cameras are back rolling because we need to know what's going to happen. And then we start going back to the season and be like, where are the clues? And I love the Bravo Fetus, the early seasons. So in case you didn't know what was happening, Bravo was like, no, we're going to give you marathons. And we're going to give you an explainer of where you can find this, like, timeline, because we have 10 years worth of footage.
Yeah, I feel like Bravo really rose to the occasion. Like, they knew what they were sending out, and they didn't let us down. And that was really fun. That whole, I mean, it was tragic, but it was a fun moment in pop culture, especially for all of us who have been steeped in this world for so long. It was like we got called up to the majors. We could discuss all of our expertise. Yeah. So that was, and then I've also just been like, I've watched, I mean, every season, every iteration of The Bachelor. Like, I'm still like telling people, like, hey, have you heard of Bachelor Pad? It was this show back in the mid-aughts that they had, that only three seasons. There was a prisoner's dilemma at the end. And I'm trying to get people involved in the history of that too. So I'm definitely an advocate.
I am interested in The Bachelor. So the problem with Bachelor experience is that the fandom is so toxic. Like, just so I'm a Love Island person. Like, I love Love Island. It's just like, it's not, I think also the path is not to get married. And I feel like The Bachelor is so heteronormative. Like, we're going to get married.
And it's like, I mean, yeah, The Bachelor franchise definitely feels like a family member that I can't shake. Where it's just like, I don't necessarily want to bring other people into present day Bachelor fandom just because I'm like, I feel like at this point I've gone too far with these people. I've been in it too long. I can't leave now. What am I going to do? They're my family. But yeah, no, I think Love Island is definitely the superior show.
Yeah.
And the couples that come out of that are just absolutely like TV gold. They're just.
They are.
But yeah, the friendships, it's a really fun show.
It's a fun show. And the fact that it's like at the end of the show, they just want to be boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, there's no, like, engagement. They're just like, we're just going to be boyfriend, girlfriend. And it's like, oh, this is, like, back in, like, high school days. Or it's like, do you want to be my girlfriend? Do you want to be my boyfriend?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, that's sort of, it just shows where we are in time. Where that's so much more modern.
Yeah.
To just say, well, we're just going to end it and we're going to date and we're going to see what happens. Where, you know, The Bachelor started in the early 2000s. Like, I think it was 2002.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, if we're going to watch people date on television, it must end in marriage, or else what are we doing here? And it just shows the evolution of all these other shows where, I mean, on the Netflix shows, you have Love is Blind, where they're getting engaged to a stranger. And it's so incredible because you're like, what are we doing here? But I can't look away.
I can't. It's a train wreck that I can't look away. So
This is a delightful conversation. So what are you looking forward for Bravo this summer? Like, which ones? Now that summer is almost ending and ending on a bang. Mm. Other shows, are you looking forward to it? Or any things that are, like, in the pipeline, you're like, okay, I'm excited for this next mm-hmm. year.
I'm so excited for Love Island USA because Ariana is going to be hosting. And I actually really enjoyed last season of Love Island USA. Yeah. I thought it was a fun time. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for I really want to know what happens with the OC. I mean, they've really, casting wise, they've created the greatest drama ever told right there. So I'm ready to see it. And I'm interested to see what happens with the New York now that they're in a second season, because first seasons are always weird. But they're always tricky. Yeah. It's people, you know, they're fighting about dinner reservations. And then in the second season, now they're fighting about, now they're starting to have those meta fights where they're fighting about the show, but they're pretending to fight about dinner reservations. So there's something, there's really heat behind it. Yeah, so I'm excited for that.
It's about when they talk about the trip to New York, and I'm like, it's a reunion. Just say that you went to a reunion. Just when you were in the trip to New York, and the trip to New York, well, like, it's a reunion. We're smart.
I know. I feel like they've started to get a little more comfortable talking about, like, things that happen at BravoCon. Because it used to be like, oh, when we were all in Las Vegas. And I'm like, you and you were all at BravoCon? And now they're like, they're just, the fourth wall is gone. We're just talking about how this is a show.
Which is fine, because we've been watching this for 20 years. Like, it's like, it's bound to happen. So.
And I view it as, like, we're part of this show. So, like, talk about, give us the respect we deserve. We're part of that.
Yes.
Talk about the audience. We're here.
We're here. We have something to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Do we ever. We have so much to say.
All right. Let's talk about 4 weekends and a funeral, which could be, like, 4 weddings and a funeral. But 4 weekends and a funeral. What is the elevator pitch? Because it starts with a bang.
Yes. So four weekends and a funeral is about Allison, who goes to her ex-boyfriend's funeral only to discover that he never told anyone that they broke up. She's enlisted by a family member to go along with the ruse for the sake of his grieving parents, which would be totally fine and a very normal thing to do. You know, we've all been there, of course, if she wasn't starting to fall for his grumpy best friend.
Well, you know. That's the high conflict. That's the hook. And it's like,
I mean,
you're not supposed to. What else can you have it?
I mean, who hasn't been there is the real question. It's a very relatable premise. No, but I was excited to kind of do an homage to some of my favorite rom-coms. Like While You Were Sleeping is just a forever classic to me. And what I always loved about that movie was the way that it's this, you know, it's a zany premise, but we are talking about loneliness and grief and all of these kind of really deep human emotions that are really digestible, because we have this, like, really lovely banter and romance on over here, and we have this absolutely wild situation that's going over at family dinner over here, and you can kind of deal with all these bigger issues within the safety of the rom-com.
Exciting. So what was your process of writing this book? Like, how did you end up pursuing this creative project?
Yeah. So a few years ago, I was diagnosed with a breast cancer genetic mutation, BRCA1, which puts me at a significantly higher risk of having breast cancer or ovarian cancer in my lifetime. And it was recommended that I get a preventative mastectomy and eventually an oophorectomy to protect me from getting cancer. And while I was preparing for the preventative mastectomy, I was just reading every romance novel I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. I wanted those HEAs. I wanted everyone to be okay. I wanted love and joy and fun. But I also wanted to see women have these frank discussions about their bodies and sexuality in a way that I was sort of dealing with internally. Like, I was making decisions about my body. I was, you know, at the risk of getting too deep into it, I was deciding whether or not to spare my nipples. Like, I was making these big body decisions because that's what happens when you have BRCA. And I was really enjoying seeing women talk so frankly about their bodies and their pleasure and their sexuality. But I was really hungry for representation and seeing a woman like me also experiencing a love story. And that's kind of what got me thinking about, hey, maybe I could have something to say in this space. And
I've always loved, like what I was talking about with While You Were Sleeping, like I've always loved the way that romances can discuss hard issues because we go into it knowing everyone's going to end up better than they started. So we don't have to worry that there's going to be this big cancer twist when you're dealing with a woman who has a predisposition for breast cancer. You know going in that you can feel safe to read this and just enjoy her story because she's going to be dealing with the emotions. You don't need to worry about her well-being. And so that's kind of what got me on this journey with this book.
I love this. I love the fact that you're like looking at the journey, but at the same time, like having this sense of like, there's going to be an HEA or a happy now. Everything's going to work itself out and we're going to leave you better than you started, which is nice a nice premonition too. Like, you know, we're in this journey. We're going to get better, hopefully, you know, and we'll have this opportunity to have a fun escape or having a positive, a place of joy, as opposed to a place of trauma, a place of like feeling like shit and depressed. Like there's something to be said about joy that's just as important as the trauma.
Oh, joy is so important. And when I was looking for that representation, I was preparing for mastectomy. I wasn't really looking for like, let's see things go south here. I was looking for what is optimism and joy. Like I want to see people who are experiencing something that I'm experiencing, but I'm not looking to like to see someone's life go down the tube. And there are so many like with prestige, you know, dramas we watch all the time. Like I love an HBO prestige drama, but there is a little bit of me that's like clenched where it's like, ooh, what's going to happen to this lovely woman that I just met?
Yeah.
What horrible thing will befall her? So I really wanted to think about if I was handing this book to myself a few years ago, what book would I want to read?
Yeah. I love this. All right. Do you have any book recommendations to share with our audience?
Oh, absolutely. So I have been just reading so many amazing debuts this year. Earlier this year, I read Naina Kumar's debut, Say You'll Be Mine, and her upcoming sophomore novel, Flirting with Disaster, is like a Sweet Home Alabama in a hurricane. It's so incredible. So definitely have that on your radar for the future. A couple others that are already out. I loved Hannah Tate Beyond Repair by Laura Piper Lee. It's this like hilarious, unflinching look at motherhood with this wonderful romance. Maya Ariel's When I Think of You is this sweeping, layered Hollywood romance. Danica Nava's The Truth According to Ember is laugh out loud, funny workplace romance, and it's featuring an entire Native American cast of characters. And she's Chickasaw herself. So it's a really incredible work. And then Take Me Home by Melanie Sweeney, this lovely grad school road trip romance. And I don't know about you, but I am back into dystopian in a big way. I think they just put the Divergent series on Netflix. I'm like, oh my gosh, remember that? What a great time. And so Jill Two's The Dividing Sky is like romantic speculative thrill ride that is really great and comes out in the fall. And finally, I am loving the season of Bridgerton. I'm completely obsessed. I am watching the Nicola and Luke TikToks. Like, I'm in it. And if you are there too, then Ne'er Do Well by Alexandra Vasti was written specifically with you in mind. She's so incredible. She has the series of novellas that's already out. And this July, she has Ne'er Do Well coming out. And I'm just so excited for everyone to discover her. And if you've been loving Bridgerton, it seriously is the perfect next room.
Oh my gosh, I'm picking that one up next. But those are great recommendations. And those recommendations are books on my list. And I'm like, oh, I have this in my list. And I have this in my list. So you're just like adding more things for me to read on the
song. Gotta add more to the TBR. There's always room.
It is always room for more. So Ellie, tell us where you can find me online.
Yes, you can find me at Ellie Palmer Writes over on Instagram and occasionally on TikTok. And yeah, you can find me there.
Thank you, Ellie, for being the show.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.